There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How do you know if you're making the right decision or following your gut instinct? Well, I'm not going to keep you in suspense on this one. You know you're making a right decision or following your gut when you're acting from the rational part of your brain, not from the fear part of your brain. And today, you'll learn the difference between these two and my top five tips for knowing if you're making the right decision and listening to your gut. So stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it.
Hello again. So happy you're here with me. This is one of those questions that's come up a lot with my clients, with people I've talked to out in the world. It's one of those things I get asked a lot. You know, Abby, you seem so sure in your decisions. You seem so clear, and I am very decisive, which is hard because I'm a Libra. I'm gonna blame the zodiac. But I really can see all sides of situations. So I will say that I can often, I think it's why I work well with clients, because I can really see when they're, you know, that there's a lot of different ways to look at something. There's not one definitive right or wrong. But there is a way that I've taught my clients that I have learned, of course, from the powers that be, from the places where I learn things, that has proven true now for decades, and something I really learned after I got, clean from heroin. It was, you know, part of that spiritual journey to really know, because so often am I listening to a craving? You know, what am I listening to here? Is this God's voice in my head or something else? You know, that kind of thing. So you have those thoughts and you're wondering, is this something I should follow or not? And today I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the secret sauce, as I always do, because I love you. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and like, and I'd love a comment. I love when you guys comment. I go back and I read those and I comment back. It's a lovely way to stay connected. And I love when you review on, you know, again, leave a review. Oh my God, the last reviews were so beautiful. Thank you. I read every single one. They make my year, day, week, all that. It's a way to give back to me for what you're getting. So thank you. And for us to dominate the world with happiness and peace, because more people will know. And please, remember to, you know, rate on Spotify, all the things. It really, really helps when you give back to me in that way. So let's talk about what's happening in your brain. I have to go here first. So I'm not going to get you know, crazy nutty scientific here. So for any neuroscientists listening today, and I do hope you're out there listening, or, you know, MDs with a certain specialization, know that I'm keeping this simple for those of us who, you know, I'm not as brilliant as you. I'm not. And so I need to simplify things, and the people who listen, although I got smart listeners, I'll tell you that right now, or you're not listening here. You're going somewhere that doesn't offer the research, that doesn't, you know, that dumbs it down for you, that tells you something in 2 seconds. So you know, go use this tip. It's this 2 second tip. It's crazy. If you really want to change your life, you have to spend some time on your life. You have to really learn something, know something, understand it, integrate it, and then use the tips. And that's who's here with me. So I love you. I love that you're here, because, you know, I get excited when I talk about research-based information. Again, neuroscientists go easy on me, but the rest of us, you know, we have to understand what's happening in these pretty little heads of ours, okay? So, and let me say, it's important that you understand how your brain works so you can understand if you're following your gut instinct, in other words, making a right decision for yourself or not. And I'm not going to spend an hour talking about it. It's okay. Don't get too nervous. But I am going to give you just the parts you need to know for our discussion today. So I'm going to simplify and just say what you need to know. So you likely already know that your brain has two hemispheres, right? Two sides to your brain. And you have four what we call lobes. So you've got your occipital lobes. And by the way, there's two of each lobe because there's two sides of your brain, right? So there's we say sometimes just lobe, like your occipital lobe, but we're always knowing that we mean both of them, okay? A lot of things are used in the singular in the brain, but you should know that there's generally, like a lot of times there's two. Not always, but there are a lot of times two. So you've got your occipital lobes in the back of your head. You know that dent in the back of your head? You can go feel it right now. You can watch me feeling mine on YouTube. Those are your occipital lobes in the back of your head. You have your temporal lobes, which are the ones on the sides, your parietal lobes on the top of your head, more or less, and then your frontal lobes in the front. Genius name, no? Frontal, front, got it. So your neocortex is comprised of the four lobes on each side or each hemisphere of your brain. And the neocortex is the kind of our most it's the most modern part of the brain and the newest, hence the word neo. But you've got another part called your prefrontal cortex, which is part of your neocortex, which if you've listened to me speak, you know I talk about a lot. And that sits at the very front of your brain, kind of behind your forehead. And this is where your what we call your executive functions live. And your executive functions are your problem solving, your goals, your long-term planning. It's basically approaching things from a rational perspective, okay? Now, that parietal lobe I mentioned near the top of and center of your head, again, it's kind of right behind your frontal lobe and above your occipital and temporal lobes. That is the major sensory processing hub of your brain. It's so important. All of them are important, obviously, Abby. Sorry. Okay. It's so important because it basically helps your brain construct the way it understands the world around you. So it's involved in your self-awareness, your awareness of other people, and how you process your attention with all that. It's also where scientists believe your spirituality lives. There was some research not that long ago out of Yale. I'll link to that in the show notes for sure. You know, I always link in the show notes to all the research. Really interesting what they found. And there's another school, and I can't think of it, that Columbia, I think, did the original research, and then Yale published it later. There's some connection between them. But anyway, so we think of that. I like to think of that as the spiritual part of my brain. So now parts of your prefrontal cortex, your thinking brain, and your parietal cortex, your spiritual brain. And we use these words cortex and lobes very interchangeably a lot. They are slight, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But just don't get confused if you hear, what's the parietal lobe versus the parietal cortex? I'm talking about the same thing as I speak. So these two parts of the brain, this prefrontal, this thinking part, your spiritual part, your parietal, they're very involved with one another. They work together to create, definitely create your memories, but and your decision making. So if you had a gut instinct or a deeper knowing that something was right, you know, you have that sometimes. Sometimes we have a gut instinct that somebody's full of shit, you know, someone's talking to us, we're like, this doesn't feel right, you know, that kind of gut instinct. When that deeper knowing, right, something was right for you, or it would really be at this juxtaposition of where your spiritual part, where the spiritual part of your brain meets the rational problem solving part of your brain. And again, I will link to research about how these two are connected. Obviously, all the parts of our brains are connected in different ways, but it's really important in, excuse me. Sorry, Mike just like coughing at you. Should I have a sip of water? Sorry about that. Okay. But it's really important to understand how things are connected and the intimate relationships that get created in the brain. So the last area of the brain I wanted to see, we're almost done. So do everybody, right? You're following, right? I made this, I hope, really simple and clear. You can always come to the website, abbymetcalf.com, and look at the blog. There's always a corresponding blog to every podcast episode I do. If you want to just get the notes on this, you can copy and paste it later. If you're not listening, you know, if you're like, what does the parietal do again? You can go look. But the last area of the brain I want to talk about is actually involved in knowing if you're not making a right decision. And this is your amygdala. Your amygdala, I've talked about a ton on the podcast. You've been listening to me for a while. This is not the first time you've heard about it, but your amygdala is part of your limbic system, which is found in your temporal lobes. And it plays, and again, like even amygdala, there's amygdalae, I guess. There's more, there, again, it's in both sides of the hemispheres of the brain. So, but again, we just use it singularly, even though there's more. So I just think a lot of this stuff gets confusing. I know it was for me when I was, you know, as I've been learning all these years. And so I do like to say it out loud in case you've been confused by it too and thought, what, am I stupid? I don't want to ask this question. You're never stupid. And it's great to ask the questions. I always do. And I've been laughed at more than once in a room as I should have known something was obvious and I did not, and I don't care. So here I am telling you, but so this temporal lobe plays a central role in your emotional learning, right? So your amygdala, your limbic, found in your limbic system in your temporal lobe, it plays a really central role in your emotional learning, particularly within the context of fear, because your amygdala is fear central in your brain. It's always on high alert looking for threats. I've talked about the amygdala a lot in previous episodes. I will link to that. I did something on the lizard brain a long time ago if you want to learn more. But for today's discussion, that's enough. So you can think of your amygdala as your emotional fear-based brain, and your prefrontal cortex as your thinking rational brain, okay? And the way they work together, here's another together little duo, okay? So the way these two parts of the brain work together affects your emotions. It influences your decisions as well as how you control or manage your feelings, okay? So important. So we're going to use all this neurobiological information to talk about your gut instinct. But I want to point out that this is why I call a right or a gut decision as being aligned with your inner being or your higher self or your most aligned self. I use those terms a lot. It's because you're coming from your calm, rational thinking brain, your prefrontal cortex, and your parietal brain, that your spiritual connection to yourself and the universe. And that place that comes together, which is what I'm going to teach you how to get there today, is when you have a fully aligned decision that you can stick to, that you know is right, that is your gut, okay? That's what we're talking about today. But I need you to get, because I think I can sometimes speak in like woo terms, you know, I'm a spiritual gal, I'm out there, I'm hoping to convert many of you to feeling spiritual in your lives. But I've got the science to back it up. That's the reason I'm a spiritual gal. It is the reason that so many famous physicists were extraordinarily spiritual beings. I didn't say religious beings. That's something else. I said spiritual beings. They really understand the incredible the incredible universe we live in and how our brains are connected to all that. So just want to say that. Okay. So let's talk about what happens in real life. Okay, what happens in real life, Abby? Okay, that was great. That's my brain. I got it. But what's going on? To me, there are two scenarios that happen in real life that are at the base of why you question yourself and whether, you know, am I listening to my gut? That's, you know, why you're asking that question. The first scenario, and probably the more common one, is that you're in a fear-based place when you have your initial thoughts or conversations about an issue. In other words, your amygdala is in charge when you're making a decision. You know, which college or major should I choose is fraught with everyone else's opinions. Am I going to please my parents? What do other people think? What do I get? Don't get a job later? What if that career goes away? What if I don't like it once I do it? It's fraught with social media, doom scrolling, and everything it says you should do. It's fraught with comparing yourself to everyone else. Oh, this guy from my class is already doing better, and he's going Ivy League. What if I don't get into Ivy League? I'll never make it. I'll never have a. Oh my God! Do you hear it? You end up making a decision that's more fear or amygdala based, emotionally based in those moments. And your emotions take over your rational brain. And this causes the insecurity, the feeling unsure, the waffling in your decisions, or not, or the analysis paralysis, you know, not making any decisions at all. That's what's happening. Scenario two is one I see probably most often with my personal clients, and that's that someone comes to me with a tough issue, okay? Like whether or not to leave a relationship. That's something that comes up a lot. I don't know if this is the right relationship for me. So we'll discuss it in session. And because I'm there and I'm helping to reframe anxious thoughts, I'm pointing out, I'm helping my client be self-aware, I'm helping them be mindful and in the moment, and they're noticing their anxious thoughts, they're noticing where their brain is going, they're able, and you know, I'm Jewish mother nurturing, so we're having this beautiful discussion and they're able to calm down and really make a decision so that emotional brain lets up, the amygdala lets up, which is usually what they come in with, right? And then that prefrontal cortex, that rational thinking brain, and that beautiful spiritual brain, right? They come into play. And I can see my client's shoulders drop. They usually are, oh, yeah, oh, gosh. They often cry because they're really realizing that they're coming to some real decision. And let's say I'm just making it, maybe they do decide to leave, right? My client says in session, I'm going to leave. And it works the other way too, when they say they're not going to leave, but let's pretend they said they're going to leave. So they're able to make this decision from a calm, confident, and thoughtful place. This is a quote unquote right decision in the moment, okay? Because in the moment, they're making the decision from their thinking and spiritual brains, this alignment, this working together. Because remember too, when your fear brain is lit up, you are not seeing things from a realistic perspective. I know you think you are, but you're not. I've talked about this ad nauseum and so many other podcast so many episodes I talk about this. In my latest book, Boundaries Made Easy, you need to get my book if you haven't yet. I don't know what you're waiting on. You could try Audible for free and get it for free if you don't have Audible, you know. You can sign up and then quit it after 30 days or whatever. You can, any of the things, okay? Get it somehow. Get the Kindle version. Do something, because I go in deep in there about all the things I'm going to talk about today, and I am going to talk about boundaries later, and you need to be able to hold them to really get this. But anyway, but I talk about the different things that happen in our brain and why we think we're seeing things realistically and yet we're not. We think we're seeing things as they are and we're completely not. So when our fear brain has taken over. So my clients are making a rational, calm, spiritual decision, but then they don't, right? And at first they do. They have this kind of aha moment. And of course, they have a lot of feelings, but those feelings, so of course, their amygdala might be a little lit up, but it's not overriding their logical brain. So they make what I call a love-based or a gut decision. It's a decision from this inner knowing and alignment where, believe it or not, things seem relatively clear. Whenever my clients say, I'm so confused. No, you're not. You're confused because your fear brain is on point. If you've ever said that, I'm so confused, your fear and you, and, blah, I don't know what to do. Your fear brain has run amok, and I'm going to give you the tips to make that stop, but that's what to know. So they become pretty clear. And again, it might be painful, but it's clear. But then my client leaves the sanctity of our session and they speak to their mom, who's aghast at the idea of them leaving this beautiful partner. Or they look through their old IG pics and see all the happy times they've spent with this person, and they start to swirl. And so now their emotional brain takes over. And from this, they're getting hijacked. The fear is hijacking their brain. And from this agitated, fear-based place, they start to question their decision they made from that calm place, right? You've done it. You know what I'm talking about. What if I never find anyone else? Or almost worse, what if they find someone else and I'm all alone? Okay. I hear that more than anything from you guys. It makes me a little crazy. I want to smack you hard with love, with so much love. Stop that. Okay. So the fear takes over because now the amygdala, the fear brain, is overriding your thinking brain, overriding your spiritual brain. And that is where you're making a decision from. And it's not a good one anymore. So basically, my clients were in a good place when they made the decision, but then allowed fear to override that healthy thinking. And this alone, if you don't listen to the rest of the broadcast today, this is it. This alone is a place you have to stop and think about when you're waffling or changing or thinking of changing your mind. How am I feeling right this moment? If the answer is anxious, worried, depressed, overwhelmed, resentful, frustrated, sad, helpless, hopeless, you're not following your gut or making a right decision. Your amygdala has taken over. Your emotional brain has taken over. It's the same thing that happens. You know it's a good idea to work out every day. You know it's a good idea to save for retirement, but you don't because you're in your moment and your emotional brain takes over. But I'd rather eat this brownie and not go to the gym. I would rather buy this great bag and not save money for retirement. Your emotions override your logical thinking brain. And the more you let that happen, the more that brain neural pathways in the brain, the more that brain hardwiring becomes really hardwired and really entrenched. Okay. Yeah. So what causes the fear to take over? And I would say, I think you already know, but I'll just say it quickly before we go on to our tips. But the main causes of your emotional brain taking over your thinking or spiritual brain that I see tend to be overthinking and listening to your inner critic. I did an episode on how to stop the overwhelm and overcome your inner critic. It's called something like that. I have it linked in the show notes, and you can search, use keywords on my website or on the platform you use if you want to go deep on that and all my tips. You know me, I'm always about tips. The other reason I see is comparing yourself to others. This gets you in so much trouble. Social media is the devil when it comes to this stuff. It's so easy to compare yourself to others. It's so sad. Please stop. Other people's opinions, what your mother thinks, what your dad thinks, what your best friends think, what people on fucking social media think. I can't even stand that. Friggin' strangers, and you care what they think about whatever, so you want to put on a good front to get likes or comments. Talk about short-term thinking. Talk about emotional brain. That is fear. That's a fear-based brain that is so interested in what other people are saying about you. Fear-based brain. When I'm asking you for comments and to subscribe and like and do all that, it's got nothing to do with my fear. It has to do with my love of trying to get the message to more people. And I know the more people that share an episode and the more people that like or subscribe, the bigger I get, the more people are aware and can change their lives for the better. That is my number one positive only reason. It's the whole reason I started the podcast. It's the whole reason I've been doing this. I didn't even make money from the podcast for years. I didn't even try. I wasn't even interested. And now we're getting bigger and great. I think it's great. Why shouldn't I support myself doing something so wonderful, right? Doing something that's helping the world. You can have both. You don't have to be a martyr. It doesn't mean that you're not helping the world. I just want to say that. But do you know what I mean? Like, no part of me would read any of that stuff if I didn't need to. I don't, it means nothing, right? And people bitch and moan about me all the time. I'm all over stuff, social media and stuff. It does not in one little bit change how I do this podcast. It does not in one little bit change how I feel about myself. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt sometimes. I'm not saying it doesn't hit for a moment, and because my fear brain takes over for a moment. And then I get back to what I know. I practice the tools I'm going to teach you so I don't have to stay there. So other people's opinions, people pleasing is a big problem, which is linked to other people's opinions, you know, wanting them to like you. That's another reason you get into a lot of trouble. You're conflict avoidant. You don't want to have a conflict with someone. So you don't really follow your gut or what you know to be true or correct. Codependency obviously is in there. Again, I'll link to all the episodes I do to how to get over codependency and people pleasing, you know, all that stuff I will link to, but I'm not going to go into detail here. And then of course the poor boundaries, which again, buy my book. There's tons of free information on my website about boundaries. You can go there too easily. Happy to have you do that. So, okay. So let's talk about my five tips for following your gut, not your fear, for knowing you're making a healthy, good decision that's in full alignment with where your brain should be and where your spiritual life is. Okay. This is how you do it. So tip number one is, and this is, again, probably each one is kind of the biggest, but for sure you have to do this no matter what. When you're thinking about any issue, you must get yourself to a good feeling place first. Some people think, oh, once I make this decision, I'll feel better. So I'm just going to push through the anxiety. Mm-mm. You're not, you know, I'm telling you the truth because you've tried that. And then you just keep questioning that decision and you make yourself crazier. No, the key is to get into a good feeling place first. You cannot make a healthy, rational decision when you're consumed with fear.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can't do it. That part of your brain won't light up. It's not like you can't because you can't. It's you can't because your brain don't work that way. That's why I'm telling you your brain chemistry. This isn't some spiritual woo shit. This is real stuff. So when your brain is hijacked by the amygdala, by all that fear, your rational thinking brain can't come online. It's not there. It can't come on. And that's why you either fight, flee, or freeze. That, you know, you get into that sort of reptile brain of what you end up doing. It doesn't work. So you need to get into a good feeling place first. You might need to meditate and make it a practice of meditating would really make me happy. I have a whole episode on how to learn to meditate. 15 minutes a day is all you need. I have a course if you want to buy it. You don't need to, but it's how to meditate for 15 minutes in 15 days. So you can learn how to do 15 minutes of meditation in 15 days. Take my little course. It's pretty cheap. It's very inexpensive. Or again, there's tons of free apps. There's so many ways these days, but you can start with just listening to, you know, I give it away. You can always pay for something, but I also give it for free. Some people just like to have it, you know, as opposed to searching through my website for everything, you know, they just like to have it in one place, all the things. That's, you know, why I package things. But it's never meant to substitute for someone who has no money, who is destitute, who has zero, being able to get great information. So if you want to listen to, again, put meditation into an Abby Metcalf into any Spotify or anything else search engine or my website, and you will find it. Okay. So You might need to listen to an inspiring or calming visualization. I would highly, highly recommend that you check out. It's on YouTube for free. You don't have to put in your email or anything. I have a self loving kindness meditation. From the research, we know that these work. So try that. Listen to that a few times a week. Get yourself into a good place, or at least listen to that before you're going to go have this, you know, important conversation with someone, or before you're going to sit and figure out what you want to do about your career or something else. Do that first. Speak to your therapist or a supportive friend, not the friend with 90 opinions. I want the friend that asks you lots of questions about what you're thinking, asks you helpful things to help you brainstorm and guide, is not talking to you from fear. Or again, a therapist. You can make a gratitude list first. You can think of one thing you really appreciate and get yourself into that state. You can take a walk in nature if that calms you down. You know me, I'm the city girl, freaks me out to be in nature, but some of y'all love it and the research says you should. So do you see where I'm going here though? The point is that you cannot make a healthy decision from your thinking brain when you're emotional, when your fear brain is running the show. Not because it's spiritual woo, although you know I love that too, but because your brain can't work that way. It's always one or the other that's in charge. And again, while these two parts of your brain are connected, one is always more dominant. So again, which one are you sort of feeding, right? Which one are you focusing on? So start with my loving kindness meditation, freest, easiest way to do it. Get yourself in a good place and then approach. And then do number two, do tip number two. How's that? I didn't even think of these in order. These aren't in order, but I would say doing tip one and now tip two would be fabulous. Okay. Tip number two is not to make, people make a pros and cons list a lot when they're trying to make a right or healthy decision. But for me, these can be a very bad idea because they're misleading. I've had more clients get into trouble with a pros and cons list than anything. And I'll tell you what to do instead in a second. But if you're deciding whether to, let's say, end a relationship, you might have 50 things on the pro side, but the one or two things on the con side might be the deal breakers. I have had this not recently, but in the last couple of months, I had a client doing this. She did it, of course, because I didn't tell her to do it. She thought it was a good idea. And she brought the list to session. And so her partner, she did have like 50 things on the pro side. He's funny. He's smart. He makes great money. He's great in bed. She loves his family. I mean, she had a list, okay? But there was one thing on the con side, and that was that in the very beginning of their relationship, very beginning, but she thought they were exclusive, but he said at the time he didn't think they were. He did have sex with someone else. He was dating someone at the same time as her in the very beginning. And when she kind of thought they went exclusive, he didn't. And they had a different conversation and he swears he's all in at this point, but he does flirt a lot. He's a flirt. He likes to flirt. And so, and we've been talking for a while. So what happens is we'll talk in session and her instincts are that he's going to cheat on her again. Those are her instincts. Like when she's calm and in an okay place, she realizes that this is someone, because he does other stuff too. He sometimes does stuff that's not cool in other places. And by the way, I know I'm going to talk to other clients this week and they're going to go, "Was that me you were talking about?" It's not. It's not you. Okay. It's so funny. Every client who's ever had someone cheat or question the relationship, they're like, "Oh my God." No, I've had plenty of clients who've had someone cheat before, but who get to a place where they really don't believe that they're going to do that anymore. Again, when they get in a calm place, they realize that's not the problem. It's their own insecurity that's the problem and what they need to work on. See, there's a difference here. With this particular client, though, she realized that there was other things that he did that she didn't think. She realized that it was kind of like cheating, but in different ways, were kind of how he talked about money and some other stuff. So the problem is that she would then make this kind of calm decision in session, like, "This is, you know, I really need to move on. I'm never going to be able to reconcile this, and it's okay." And she would even not have hate for him. She'd be in a good place. Then she'd be home hanging out with him and having a ball. And he's so great and I love him. And she would minimize the damage of the cons. She would decide in this place of, great sex and spending a day with his family that she was being crazy when she was worried about the flirting and the other stuff. Okay. That's what she would decide. And sometimes, by the way, it's true that it is crazy to worry about those things because they're not real for her. But again, it's where you are in a calm place. And when she's in a calm place, a good centered place, but when she's, what's happening when she's with him and everything's great, and when we broke that down, it's because she started to get anxious. What if I don't find anyone this good? What if I don't like their family? What if I don't, see what happens? And she would minimize those cons because there were so many pros, which, by the way, don't mean a damn if you can't trust your partner, if you don't really trust them. So what I had her do and what I would ask you to do is instead of a pros and cons list, make a beliefs list. What are your beliefs about leaving this relationship or this job? I have it people, I'm just thinking of another client I have who's worrying about leaving a job. They might be fear-based issues, right? I'm wanting too much from one person, or I'm wanting too much from this job, or to, you know, I'll never find another relationship. I'll never find another job. Those things are often similar. Or this is really good enough. I need to lower my standards. I'm acting crazy. Like, I don't need those things. And when you look at a beliefs list, you'll have a much better idea of why you're making the choice you are. You'll be better able to identify what's coming from fear and what's coming from rational, what's coming from the emotional side of your brain and what's coming from the rational side of your brain. And that's why a beliefs list is so much better. So when you look through that list, are your beliefs, here are my beliefs if I leave this person or this job or I choose this college, here are my beliefs. And you'll see when you write them, I'm going to regret it later, that there was actually a better school I should have chosen, that this person's going to find someone better than me, either going to get in a relationship right away and I'm going to be sad and lonely, you know. And when you look at that list, you realize how fear-based it is. Oh my God. There's nothing on there like, this opens me up for meeting the best person ever, like a person who has all the other person's positives and more. So look at the beliefs and you can start to see, wow, my amygdala, my fear-based brain is driving my decisions. And that's not your gut. And that's not a right decision for you. You never make decisions out of fear. They are never the right ones for you long-term. Okay. They're just not. Got it? I'm pausing here. I'm having a pregnant pause here. I'm not pregnant, but I'm having a pregnant pause. All right. Tip number three, feeling scared doesn't mean it's a wrong decision. Because I get this. People say, well, but I'm afraid. There's a Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron, who's really famous. If you haven't read her stuff, I highly recommend it. And she has this beautiful quote, and I apologize, Pema, if you're listening, if I get it wrong, but it's something like, fear is a natural reaction to moving closer to the truth. It's so good. Fear is a natural reaction to moving, when you're moving closer to the truth. So I always tell people, you know, it's almost impossible to keep your negative thoughts completely at bay. I don't know any, I don't think the Dalai Lama's negative thoughts are completely at bay. I don't think it's possible. But being scared is no reason to change your mind. It, you know, that's your anxiety lying to you. If you feel paralyzed, you know, indecisive, that's fear. That's your anxiety lying to you. So what I find most commonly is the real issue is keeping your boundaries after you've made a decision. It's when you indulge in fearful thoughts after you've made the change or after you've made a decision. Because you start now, you know, I'm in this calm place, I've made this thing, but now I implement it or I've sat with it for a moment, I've left Abby's off, you know, Zoom room, and now all these other things, people's opinions, other, you know, my negative thoughts, my beliefs, those scary fear-based beliefs are all rushing to the fore. And I will tell you that once you do change something or tell someone of your intentions, other people will push back at the new boundary you made. Or you see your ex happy in a new relationship and now you're questioning your choice. I never should have left her. I should have stayed with her. What was I thinking? I know, because you guys talk to me all the time. I know, I see it. So a little fear notice the difference a little, because again, you're going to dispute it. You're going to come in with your rational brain and you're going to dispute it. And you're going to do tip number four, which is what you want to do is really reframe this idea that you can even make a wrong decision. Okay, don't start screaming. Let me finish. Of course I can make wrong decisions. I've made tons of wrong decisions. No, no, no. Stay with me. When you make a decision that you later think is right, it's because it moved you closer to what you wanted, right? Isn't that the definition? I made a decision and that decision, oh, now I got a great job because I made this right decision about school. I made this decision to lose weight and now I feel, and I've lost weight and now I feel so good and my self-esteem is improved, right? You're like, oh, that was the right decision because I'm closer to something that I wanted. But I need you to reframe a decision that feels wrong because it hasn't, right? A decision feels wrong only because it hasn't brought you closer to what you want. That's when you decide that was a bad decision I made. Because here I am today, single, I shouldn't have broken up with that guy. Here I am today in a job that doesn't make enough money, I should have chosen a different career in a different major in college, right? You're not closer to something you want now. So that I want you to see that instead as a decision that's now given you more clarity. That's a decision. You made that decision and now you have more clarity. The biggest issue happens really, I find, is that people don't really know what they want and they're not thinking of what they want. They're thinking of one in a big picture. They're thinking what they want right now. So this is actually really recent. I'm working with a lovely woman who's an executive at a large multinational company. And, you know, she's been climbing the ladder and making more money and taking more responsibility and doing the next thing and doing the next thing. And yet she really wants to have a family and there's other things she wants. And I said to her, you know, a lot of times we just keep going because we think it's societal. Well, of course you're supposed to want more. Of course you're supposed to get to the next rung of the ladder. That's the whole point. Of course you're supposed to reach for the top of whatever this is. And I think that's crazy talk. You need to really think about what is it that I really want? What's the most important thing to me? Is it to have a family? Is it, you know, like I changed my life very drastically when I realized I wanted to be home with my kids more. I didn't know that though. It doesn't mean I was making wrong decisions before them. It means I brought decisions that brought me more clarity. And remember, a lot of times when we make a decision, we don't have all the information that we have later. Things change, people change, we change. So something that we thought we wanted when we were 20 isn't necessarily something we wanted when we were 30. So I need you to, again, we're getting more clarity. And this decision I made into a career that I don't like is giving me clarity about what I do want in a career. The things I thought I wanted, I don't. I remember I was, you know, I have a bachelor's, I don't know if a lot of you know, in political science. I wanted to be a lawyer. That's all I ever wanted to do. And then I went and worked for a lawyer. Now, I waited till my junior year of college, but I worked for a lawyer and I hated it. Love to you lawyers. I got a lot of lawyers in my practice. I did not like it. I didn't, you know, I had a very misconstrued idea of what being a lawyer meant. And it was not for me. Now, I had a choice at that point to extend. I just decided I'm just going to finish this degree and I'm going, and I was also battling my drug addiction at the time and just trying to get through and just try to finish. But I thought, let me just finish this and then I'll figure out what to do next. And, you know, I was able to roll that into the next thing. And I actually think so much of what I learned is so helpful in the context of, you know, understanding politics today, understanding the world I live in, you know, being knowledgeable about, you know, an area that maybe I don't use a lot anymore, but it's good to be knowledgeable about and keep an interest in. But what happens is, from there, from whatever that decision was, you can make a next decision towards what you really want, which I started to do. Okay. I started to make new decisions off of that old decision. And again, and this relates to tip number five, all of these sort of roll into each other. You have to stop thinking you can see the future. Oh my God, all of you. You can't regret a decision because you're actually telling yourself lies about it and you don't realize you're doing it. I know, because I talk to you all the time. You think things like, oh, I should have stayed in that relationship because I would have been happier. Or I should have gone to school for software engineering instead of psychology because I would have been happier. I would have made a lot more money. But you don't know this is true. Oh my God, the crazy lies you tell yourself. You might have gone to school for software engineering and made more money, but you also might have developed and thought that was going to make you happier, and it didn't. And then because you were so unhappy, you developed a drinking problem because you hated your work so much but felt trapped in it because you thought money was so important. And then you might have driven home drunk from a pub or a bar and gotten into a car accident and killed someone. And you might be in jail right now. Do you see what I'm, you don't know. You just think you, it's so crazy that we think we can predict the future, that we think if I had made this decision, this is exactly how my life would have unfolded to this point. What kind of, you're so full of shit. You are so full of bullshit and you don't even know it. I'm yelling at you. I'm on my little soapbox. You know when I get sassy, you know when I get spicy and I start to swear, but I don't care. What the fuck? You might have met someone in one of your software engineering classes and gotten into an abusive relationship with that person. You don't know. Maybe you would have met some crazy narcissist who looked amazing. You don't know. You just have these ideas of what you think you'd known if you had done this other thing. If you stayed in that relationship, you're now regretting leaving, you know that one? It might have turned violent. Or it likely, by the way, because I know, because I've been doing this for 40 damn years, or almost, sorry, didn't mean to exaggerate, it's 39 years. It likely would have gotten worse and you'd be depressed and anxious now wishing you'd left years before when you were cuter and younger and felt like you had more prospects. I know, because I talk to you guys all the time. I hear it all the time. I work with these companies and I tell them, you got to fire this person. They're having complaints. You got to fire this person. Like, well, no, we're worried about this and this and this. And it's better to have someone than no one. But then good people are leaving because morale is down. And now they're getting stickier and stickier. And before you know it, that bad person they should have fired is out with a workers' comp case and causing or sued them for something. Or, oh my God, these people end up becoming so bad. But you're like, no, no, I'm avoiding this pain. You don't know. Do the thing that's right. You will know your next step from this step. These aren't mistakes. There's learning and understanding yourself better. There's growth. There's opening your mind. There's really knowing what you want. And every time you make a decision, you get clearer about what you want and what brings you joy. So there are no wrong and right decisions because this is the best decision right now. Of course, with hindsight, you might think it wasn't, but you were doing the best you could with the tools you had at that time you made the decision, and you have to trust that. And now you have different tools and are making different decisions for your now and your future, right? This is where you got to get. But this idea that there's one right grand decision isn't true. It's just not true. There's our best, even things you made from such a heart place, from such a good place in the moment, can later, because of circumstances or how things change and move, be, you know, something that you now think is a wrong decision. But you might have chosen a career that has become obsolete now with AI or, I don't know, the way things have changed. But it doesn't mean that was a wrong decision you made then. It was your dream to be a whatever, and you did it, and it felt so good at the time. And it was from a real knowing that this will bring me joy. Your deal now is to figure out how to roll with that decision, how to take what you learned and think, okay, I really love this thing. I have this degree. The world is changing. How can I change with it? What can I use from this that'll be helpful moving on? You know, what I use from my poli sci degree that was helpful moving on, and what isn't? What can I do that I could also find joy in? You know, there's everything's figure outable on some level. You can figure something out. But if you're trying to decide from a fear brain of panic, of overwhelm, of frustration, of hopelessness, of helplessness, like I said before, you're not going to make a good decision. You're not going to make from your gut the right decision. So use your brain. Truly, make sure that those decisions are when that spirituality, not emotionality, not your emotional brain, but your spiritual, knowing, clear, seeing the world brain from a perspective, from calm, from love, from clarity. That brain, when that meets your frontal cortex, your prefrontal cortex, when that meets your thinking logical brain, beautiful things happen. That is the juxtaposition of where you want to be. So that's the work you need to do. All right, that is it for today. Really hope this all hits well, that you're getting what I'm picking up, what I'm laying down, that you understand. As always, I love, love, love being here with you. It's such a privilege. It really is. It's an honor. I got a comment under one of my videos from someone who was leaving an abusive relationship. She was literally in a shelter or a refuge, she called it, and had left an abusive relationship. And she was thanking me. I'm going to cry. I'm sorry. But she was thanking me, you know, for the information that's out there, how it really helped her make this decision. And I, you know, if no one else said another thing to me, that would be enough to be here with you right now, because I want you to know that I'm here. I am absolutely 100% here. I'm going to keep giving you information like this. I am going to keep making sure it's free. I'm going to keep making sure that it is evidence-based and useful, and I'm going to keep giving away the tips. Again, if you want to support me in a financial way, I love that. I appreciate that. But if you do not feel like you can, that is okay. And you do not feel guilty about being here. Do not feel like, and again, we have a reciprocal relationship, and you shouldn't just take from me. So if that is your, you know, just take and consume, because it'll make you entitled. Those are the people leaving messages under my videos saying, you know, you talk too much or whatever. So entitled, unbelievable. I'm giving you free information. You don't like how it's delivered. That's what happens when we get too much, when we're just in this head mindset that we should just get. So if that's your case and you don't have any money, you really should like a video. You should feel like you're giving back to me. You should leave a comment. You should share the video with some, or the episode with someone you think it might help. You should tell a friend to sign up for the love letter if you like it. You know, do something to spread the word. Do something to help your fellow people, because that's really what you're doing. Yeah, you're helping me, but you're helping me spread this word. Okay, that's what you're helping, really, of hopefully world peace. Hopefully we're getting rid of a lot of bigotry and hate on the way, and a lot of self-destructive behavior. So I love you. I'm so glad you're here. If you've listened to now, you're incredible. And I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you, and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is, if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.